There, does that please the folks up back? All right, good. Last week, Vinny did a superb job of speaking about our giving. As 2 Corinthians chapter 9 encourages us to give. This week, contrasting our giving, I'd like to speak about his giving to us. Oh, he's given us so very much. It seems appropriate as we approach this Thanksgiving holiday. We've been blessed by his lavish giving. Now, a preacher should balance his preaching between God's grace and what God does for us and what we are expected to do in his presence, what he requires of us, our responsibilities. Sometimes it's hard to keep that balance, and I confess to you that when I err, and I certainly do, it's usually on the side of our responsibilities before God, helping us to understand what God does expect of us, what God does require of us. But it ought not to be imbalanced. And today I want to right the scales a little bit, you might say. And I want to concentrate not on what we need to do, but what he does. Not what we should give, but what he gives. The scripture is replete with incidents of God's lavish love in so many ways, so many forms. So I want to cover a lot of scripture this morning, I'll be honest with you. And I don't want you to turn to every passage. I want you to hear God's word. And I want you to let it sink into your minds and your hearts and settle there and give you great joy and pleasure and satisfaction. For he is a good, good father. That's who he is, right? I start with 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Think about that. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14 says this, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly." Do you hear that word? Abundantly. "Along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus." Poured out on me, Paul says. And it's true of us as well, you and I. The grace of our Lord has been poured out abundantly upon us. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "How great," do you notice again that word, "great, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us, that we," you and I, "that we should be called the children of God." Like I say, the scriptures are replete with God's lavish love for us. But I want to zoom in on Psalm 65. And I'd like to read it for us. Let's turn in our Bibles, use the take home, whatever, but I want you to follow along with what God says to us this morning about his lavish love. Psalm 65. "Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. To you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Your answer is with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. What a marvelous word from God as we approach Thanksgiving. And I want you to look at this passage, not just this morning with me, in this hour that we spend together, but I want you to look at it again and again and again this week as we approach Thanksgiving. It's a great passage to unpack God's lavish giving to us. It underscores the breadth and the extent of God's giving to us. And the first way that I see God's lavish giving to us in this marvelous passage is found in verses 1 through 4. And it refers to the fact that God is lavish in his love for us. Verses 1 through 4. He's lavish in his love for us. When we realize the things that he has done for us, it can literally take our breath away. If we realize what he's done for us, it can take our breath away and leave us absolutely speechless. It's this kind of awe, this kind of reverence that in fact praises him. In some translations, the phrase that you see here in verse 1, praise awaits you, it's translated, silence is praise to you. You see, because it's a sense of awe and reverence and respect, amazement. He mentions another kind of praise here too, another form, and that is the form of obedience. Do you see here where it's stated, our vows will be fulfilled. Our vows will be fulfilled. Is that not obedience to what we have pledged? Is that not obedience to what he has asked of us, what he expects from us? Our vows will be fulfilled. But you know, and I know, it's already been said here. It's been said so many times. We've heard it time and time again, that life is large. Life is complex, and all people, because of that, all people everywhere, at some time or another, are drawn to God by prayer. They call out to him, God, help me, help me. All people do, at some point in time. They recognize their need. They recognize that life is way greater than they're able to manage on their own. But it's to be noted here, in this passage, that all men sin and are overwhelmed, it says, do you see, by their transgressions. No person has ever obeyed God perfectly, except one. And we know who that is, don't we? The Lord Jesus himself. And it's our disobedience, it's our sin that separates us from a holy God. We've all been overwhelmed by our sin, felt guilt, suffered the consequences of sin, lived with shame and secrets, every one of us. Romans 5:20 says, where sin increased, guess what? Grace increased all the more. You see, his giving far surpasses anything that we can think or imagine. So God, in his lavish love for us, is prepared. Do you see in the passage here? He's prepared to forgive our transgressions. Verse 3. How? How does he forgive our transgressions? Well, what he does is he atones for our sin. He removes our sin from us, as Psalm 103 and verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west. That's how he atones for our sin. He removes our sin from us. He atones for our sin by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die, to be separated himself from the Father as payment for our sin, yours and mine, that then enables him to remove our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. For God so loved, do you hear again the lavishness, the abundance of God's love? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And then, look at verse 4. An amazing verse. It says he chooses us. He chooses us. He chooses us to be at home with him, at peace with him, in relationship with him, to be in his presence, though we are sinful man. None who are plagued or even just tainted with sin can be in the presence of a holy God. But he chooses us and atones for our sin. Compare what it says here in verse 4 about him choosing us with what Jesus said. And it's recorded in John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then, notice this, then Jesus said, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Is that not a loving Father wanting to dote on his children? You and me, his children. But his lavish love for us has made a way for us to know him by reason of his choice and be with him when we could not find the way to be with him or earn our way to be with him ourselves. And oh, as if that was not enough with regard to his lavish love for us, it tells us that on top of this wonder of his love, he blesses us with all good gifts. Do you see it there? He blesses us with all good gifts. Look at the latter part of verse 4. He blesses us with all good gifts. All the good things of your house. Join that with what we read from John 15 and verse 16. He'll give us whatever we ask in his name. Max Lucado, is fond of saying that our heart is a Dixie cup, and his grace, or his love, is the Mediterranean Sea. There's no way that our hearts can contain all the love he lavishes upon us. But it's not just here in the passage that we learn he gives his love to us lavishly. God is lavish in his protection of us, verses 5 through 8. And he exercises his mighty power for you. Look at those verses. You know that he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And he exercises that power for our good, yours and mine. He exercises his might for us. He's the one that formed the mountains, these verses tell us. He's the one that stilled the roaring seas. Do you remember that occasion when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples and a storm came up and he stood on the bow of the boat and he said, "Be still." And the waves immediately were calmed. The wind ceased. He, in fact, is the one that stilled the roaring seas. He rules over all creation such that mankind is awed. Remember, brought to a place of speechlessness, silence, and cared for by earth's rhythms and upheavals. Look at verse 7, speaking of upheavals, and how, in fact, that impacts and affects all the nations. In their turmoil. And when God interacts, when he interacts with his creation, it is with righteous deeds. Do you see verse 5? That's how he interacts with all creation. He interacts with his righteous deeds so that, look at verse 8, so that his wonders call forth joy from us. You see? Everything God does displays how powerful he is. Yet, we need not fear in the sight of him, for he is our protector. He's our caretaker. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast all your cares upon him. Why? You know the rest of it. Because he cares for you. God is lavish in his protection over us. And God is lavish in his provision for us. Verses 9 through 13. He enriches the land abundantly. He fills the streams with water. All the necessities of life are provided us. The streams that flow, the grain that grows according to this passage, the bounty, verse 11, that he brings, the flocks he provides, all these necessities are provided us by him. And beyond those necessities, he supplies beauty to our lives. The grassland and the hills are clothed by him. Boy, doesn't this fall season convince us of that as we look at the splendor, the beauty of the leaves. Brings this passage to mind from Matthew chapter 6. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or toil. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, "What shall I eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?" For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, there's the abundance again, all these things will be given to you as well. Psalm 65 is a great passage about God's lavish giving. In his love, protection, and provision, our God, our God, shows himself to us to be a God of grace, a God of might, and a God of plenty. It's more than we can ever comprehend. You know, it's one thing to speak about our giving, quite another to speak about his giving. Is there any comparison? I think not. Let's pray. Father, as we approach Thanksgiving, help us to be and full of the amazing wonders that you've performed on our behalf. Help us not to be narrow and thinking strictly about material things that we've been blessed with this week. Help us to focus upon how lavish you've been in loving us. How lavish you've been in protecting us. How lavish you've been in providing for us all our needs, not just physical ones, but emotional ones, relational ones, spiritual ones. Oh, you're such a good, good Father. That's who you are. Thank you for sending Jesus, that we could have all these good things in your presence. We don't deserve them, but you've prepared them for us, and we give you praise that you rightfully deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.